Fantastic. Well, it's a real privilege to be able to introduce to you our next seminar speaker. Julia Chanteray is going to also have a main session, which will follow straight after this as well. But it's a real privilege. Julia and I have had some dialogue, and we've met once or twice to talk about who we are as a church and our desire to serve the city. Joel's been touching on that this morning. And Julia heads up the Brighton and Hove Chamber of Commerce at the moment. She also runs her own network and is a very experienced businesswoman. So I'm going to invite us to welcome her, and then Julia can introduce herself as well. And I think we're going to have some fun and games. So let's welcome Julia.
Okay, thank you, everybody. I'm not going to stand up there and talk, because I'm going to make you work. And I've brought some friends as well who are my dinosaurs. Never leave home without your dinosaurs. What we're going to do in this session is look at some of the complexities about how you actually apply values and ethics in business and some real live situations. And the point of today is to really try and bring out some of the different ideas that we have around ethics and values, to look at how do you handle that. How do we see things differently, and what's good and bad? So I figured that would fit. So first of all, I need you to decide between this dinosaur, if anyone knows its name, you can tell me, and whether he's good or whether he's bad. He's one or the other. Popular vote? Bad. Okay. Right, so I need a volunteer for the audience to go along. Oh, I'll do it myself, it's much quicker. See? That's bad management advice. This is the bad section. Okay? Which means that this guy is the good dinosaur. Okay? He's going to stay there with the label that says good. Okay. Now, what I want you to use your imaginations for is a line running between good and bad. So there's a continuum there, and we're going to put different business issues on that line. So this is very good, that's very bad, and if I go in the middle, I'm somewhere we're not too bothered about. Is it good? Is it bad? Not too sure. So you will find some objects, some of which seem to have been stolen already, on the chairs along here. Some there we are. Right, so we're going to start off with, I'm afraid this is empty, but it was once a box of chocolates. I don't know what happened to those. Bad for my waistline, maybe. I did look for some chocolate to bring, as a lot of my workshops do feature chocolate, but there wasn't any left in the house. It's all empty. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to tell me whether these different business situations are good or bad. Okay. You're running a business, you get a bill, and the bill says on it, the invoice says, 14 days terms. Okay? Who sends out invoices like that, 14 days, 30 days? Lots of you. Okay? Your customer pays that bill and every other bill that you send them 45 days after they receive the invoice. Note that it's after they receive the invoice, not when you actually send the invoice. This is company policy for a lot of people. Is that good or bad? If I walk along this line, where do I stop? Keep going. All the way. Okay. I'm going to put it with the bad dinosaur. Interesting. Okay. Now, these are all true life situations that I've come across either in my own business practice or from clients. So they're grounded in reality. I'm sure that you've all come across Mr. 45 Days or his worse equivalents. Okay, there are different dimensions to doing business and the ethical things that we need to consider within the business realm. One is about finance. Another one, which is more important for some people, less important for others, is the environment. So I was approached a few years ago by somebody who was importing, or he was wanting to import, fencing to the UK, which is made out of UPVC, which is the stuff that cheap double glazed windows are made out of. Now, UPVC is a material that will last longer than I will, longer than any of you will, longer than your children will. It'll last forever. That fencing, in some shape or form, probably in landfill, will be there forever. And that gave me a moral dilemma there. What do I do about this guy? This fencing's very popular in the US, but does it work in the UK market, where we don't have as much land, where we love wood? The UK apparently imports more timber than any other country. And for the environment, it's not brilliant. Where do I put... Right, I need another prop, another dinosaur. Where do I put the UPVC fencing? Good or bad?
In the middle.
So, going middle, going about here. Right, you look after that dinosaur. Okay. What about when you put out a job advert, you're recruiting a new person, maybe you're a design agency, and you need a new person to come and help you with the design. You put in a job ad that you want somebody with 3 years' experience. Pretty standard. Lots of us have probably done that. I've done that. Where would you put that? Good or bad? I'm going to use the spectacles. Job ad, asking for... There's no tricks to it. You can just say...
It's good.
It's good. It's good. Okay. It's illegal.
It's good.
And that's one of the moral dilemmas, isn't it? Things that are illegal might actually be good. The reason why it's illegal is that it's actually discriminatory on terms of age. If you ask for somebody who's 3 years' experience, it implies that they have had time in their life to develop 3 years' experience, which means that they're at least 19. So, you're probably asking for 3 years' postgrad experience, which means that they're at least 24. So you're discriminating against younger people. It's illegal. But... lots of people do it. I have to tell clients all the time, oh, can you just take that out because it's not legal? And, of course, they're still looking for somebody with 3 years' experience because that's what they want.
Julie, sorry, there must be a sensible way around that. I'm sorry, a slight digression, but is there a way of saying, have experience? Are you allowed to do that?
You can ask for experience in certain software. You can ask for being able to demonstrate experience in a particular field.
But you can't mention time.
You can't mention time. Yeah, so you can do it on skills. And actually, somebody who's quite young might be brilliant, and somebody who's 30, they've got 10 years postgrad experience, but they're rubbish compared to your 21-year-old who didn't happen to go to university. Okay, here's another one. Can I have another prop? Oh, I've got a tipper truck here. Okay, my tipper truck represents... somebody who sets up a company, you buy stuff, you don't pay for it, and then you close it down. A year later, you do it again. Good or bad? Bad. We have some agreement on that one.
But probably legal, right?
It is legal. As long as you get an accountant to do it properly for you, then it's called phoenixing. People do it all the time. Some people do it in a naughty way. I'm going to ask you again, actually, just a slightly different one. Again, a real-life situation. I had a client. He borrowed £250,000. This was before he was my client, to expand his company. Got into trouble, didn't make the sales that he meant, burnt through the £250,000. And he closed down the company. And he then set up a new company the next day, doing exactly the same thing, slightly different name, paid off all the people, including me, that he owed money to, all of the suppliers, but didn't pay the bank. Good or bad?
That depends.
Okay.
But he might not have been able to pay the bank.
He couldn't pay the bank.
He couldn't.
No, he didn't. He'd spent the money.
I'd say it's in the middle. It's a bank. They would have had a risk model facing his company, and there would have been a risk of not being able to pay the money back.
Yeah?
I'd say it's neutral.
Okay. Halfway. Interestingly, in that situation, what happens is that the bank had 25% of the debt that they lost. 75% was covered by the government because it was under what was then the Small Firms Loan Guarantee Scheme. So we've all paid for this guy's debt through our bank charges and through our taxes. Okay, there we go. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm going to go about here, judging on audience reaction there. Okay, this is one that happened to me personally recently. A competitor of mine had a big relaunch of his business. I've got to be careful now not to say his name because this is being broadcast. A number of my clients said to me, Julia, who's this guy who keeps ringing me up? He wants a meeting. And I thought, oh, that's weird. I said, oh, I'll go to the meeting, see what you think. It'd be interesting to get your feedback. And nicely, my client said, oh, we're with you, Julia, but I'll go to the meeting and see what he wants. And then another one said exactly the same thing. Has come along and wants a meeting. And he's trying to sell them something fairly similar, but five times the price. Some interesting things for me to learn from this.
Put your prices up.
Indeed, yes. That's a different seminar, isn't it? And then I worked out, in the order that he'd done it and the people that he was approaching, what he'd done was go to the client section of my website, where I've got lots of testimonials and people saying, yeah, Julia's really good. And he was just ringing them up. Good or bad?
I don't know.
Okay. Now, obviously, I was annoyed by this, I'll just say.
Yeah, it's good business.
But then I realised that I advise people to do this sort of thing all the time. But not against me.
Good. It's public domain.
Well, it's probably neutral. I mean, like, obviously, you, it's going to be annoying. But the reality is he's entitled to go to market and to talk to people and try and drive his own business. There's nothing wrong with it.
It's lazy. He's just
free market economy.
He's been phoning everybody. He's probably phoned all of you as well. So, where am I going? Somewhere about here. Okay, I'm going to go here. Okay. Interesting. Okay. So that's about how we operate in business. What about the sort of work that we do? This happened to a client of mine. They were web developers, and they got asked to do a gambling site. Their business development manager said, oh, I need to talk to you about this. I'm not sure we should do it. It's a gambling site. I feel a bit weird about that. They said, how much budget have they got? She said, £30,000. They said, we've got no problem with it. Good or bad?
It depends on the ethics of the company.
Depends on their ethics, yeah. If you were that web developer, where would you put it?
Well, and they decided they would do it.
Yeah.
I mean, if my ethics said that I'm not anti-gambling, I'd say if they decided, well, we're going to go for it because of the money, I'd say that's bad because you've compromised your ethics.
Ah, interesting point, because you've compromised your own ethics. You've done something against your own set of values. Okay, what if you put bets on, your family's got a history of gambling, not very problematic, you're not bothered about gambling. Is that okay?
Yeah. so subjective, right? Because somebody who doesn't have that moral kind of code, as far as they're concerned, it's good business.
Absolutely. So, and I don't know what I think. For me, I've got some really clear things that I would put in the bad section in terms of the sort of work that I would do. But that's about my values. When I was first starting out and I'd first moved to Brighton, somebody approached me, a friend of a friend, Julia, can you come and do some board training with us? Yeah, brilliant. Googled the company, thought, great, substantial company in Sussex, not too far to travel. She told me about the work, £12,000 worth of work. Brilliant. Looked a bit further at the website. Oh, they make flight simulators for the military. Good or bad?
Complex.
I turned it down. I spent about an hour wandering around the garden, pacing up and down, thinking £12,000. But that was because that's my particular set of values. I think war is bad. I think helicopters bombing people is bad. That's me. For somebody, I mentioned it to somebody else. He said, can I have their phone number? He went and did the work and got the 12 grand. Whether I achieved anything and put an end to war, probably not. Okay, where was I putting the gambling site? Okay, right. On the jar of fancy cocoa.
Further down.
Here? Okie doke. Right, next prop. I have a banana. Okay. We heard earlier from James about temporary workers and that he'd had an issue with having temporary workers to go and work in the pie factory. Lots of people in Brighton, there's a whole grey and black economy where people are paid cash. Construction industry, people are paid cash all the time, uninsured. But they quite like it, a lot of the people, because they're getting cash, they don't have to pay tax on it, it's hassle-free. They can spend it however they want instantly, you get paid cash at the end of the week. It's a nice feeling about cash, actually. I never get any cash. But in the past, when I've been given a wad of £20 notes, there's something quite nice about it. What about if you pay somebody who's on a casual contract with you, you pay them cash, and you pay them 50 quid a day? Good or bad?
Minimum wage.
That would be just above minimum wage for an 8-hour day.
So you offer it and they're happy to work for it?
Yeah.
Seems right.
Yeah. Isn't it their responsibility to clear their tax purposes?
Are they self-employed?
They're self-employed, but they're not registered self-employed. They could be signing on. You don't know. Okay, right, I've got that's up to them, and a really firm no.
I'm a no.
I think as an employer, you've got a duty to ensure that you're operating within the law.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been approached by people wanting to do cash and hand work as a person.
Okay.
But they invoice you.
No, there's no invoice, because if you've got an invoice...
They're not self-employed.
Well, they're... telling you that they're not registered self-employed.
They have to invoice you
to
receive the money.
Yeah. I mean, an interesting point on this is that without the invoice, you've not got any paper trail and you've ended up paying more money because you've not got anything to put in your accounts. So you lose the tax on it. Duh. Don't want to do that.
Sorry. And also, if the person has had an accident at work, mm-hmm. which has been known, they haven't got any paper trail, but the worker themselves would end up probably with no compensation.
Indeed, yeah.
So that means you shouldn't pay your window cleaner when he comes round?
Well, you're paying him cash as a business. Yeah. So that comes back to your point. Do you know that he's self-employed and that he's declaring it? Say again?
They receive the money.
So there's an interesting thing there that you cover yourself ethically by having the paper trail. So cash itself isn't necessarily bad if you've got some sort of paper trail to cover it.
They're paying cash, they're not paying tax, which means I've got to pay more tax to make up the shortfall of the tax.
Yeah. Okay, where am I going with this? You're going bad. Okay. All right, I'm going to put it around here because there's still some... Yeah, okay, that's cool. Okay, where are we? What about if you employ 10 people in your company and you give them a half day off, but it's not really a day off, because you're all going to go up to a charity for disabled people and you're going to dig them a new garden. Good or bad? Good? Good thing to do?
Well, hang on. So you're saying that it's a half day holiday, so that it's coming out of their holiday?
No, you give them an extra holiday, it's not coming out of their holiday.
Right, okay, fine.
Team building.
Yeah, team building exercise.
Yeah. Is it voluntary or have they got to go?
No, it's voluntary. They can stay at work and do stuff if they...
But you're giving them the day off, half day off, haven't you?
Okay, I've probably misphrased that. You haven't actually given them a day off. It's not coming out of their leave. You've got a day of doing something different.
Diverted their day.
Diverted, that's a good phrase, yes.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So over here with the dinosaur?
Yeah.
Okay. What happens if you do a press release about how fantastic your company is for helping out with the garden developments at the charity for disabled people? Some people would say this is making capital out of a good thing, and that becomes bad. Does that move me any further here?
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think
so. Isn't it a way of promoting your business?
It's a way of promoting your business, yeah. Some people would criticise it. I wouldn't personally. I think
everybody would.
It's also a way of showing if you've got a Christian ethic, as we were talking about earlier, that you are actually putting something back into society.
Absolutely.
And so it's actually getting the Christian message, albeit subtly, to a much wider audience.
Yeah.
So I'd say it's good.
Okay.
I also think a lot of consumers are actually a lot more savvy when it comes to the type of people they do business with or where they buy stuff from, and actually they want to be informed how that business is wired or what their values are. And so actually, if I know that they're doing charity work, I'd be more inclined, if they had that in their value system, do you know what I mean? I'd be more inclined to want to buy from them or do business with them.
Absolutely. So if that's a small local company and you see that they're doing it, one, they're getting a marketing message across, they've been noticed by doing that. Two, they're getting a warm feeling, you think that they're a good company. So it makes you more inclined to do business with them because their values are more in line with your values. Some people would say that they would feel disquiet about doing that because it's making capital out of it. Personally, I'd put it over here with the good things. And I would urge people, if you do something good, tell people about it, be overt about it. If only that you're setting a role model for other people to go and dig the other half of the garden. Okay, I've got one more. Okay, which is, what about if you... Oh, yeah, that was the last one. Is about sacking people. Okay, so you sack somebody... Because, this is kind of a mixture of things, because they're rubbish at their job. You go through the proper process, you tell them all about it, you've raised some disciplinary issues, but they just can't be bothered. They're always turning up late, they never make any effort, and you sack them.
Good.
Okay. You find out later that they've been severely depressed, they've been covering it up, they've got some serious mental health issues, they've got 5 children, which you never knew about, and they're now in hospital because you sacked them.
How can you not know about the process?
You said we've been through the proper process, but I don't think we have,
So you've explored that.
Well, I think if you'd explored it properly, you'd have covered some of these things.
Okay, what would you have uncovered?
Well, depression, background situation.
Yeah. Okay. So you might do, but again, this is a real life situation.
But surely, when they fill in their form for you to actually, you know, the application for the job, don't you have section number of children?
No. That's illegal.
Is it?
Yeah. Probably.
I think it's a performance management thing that you could have gone through with them. So if you properly manage yourself's performance, you could hopefully be uncovering some of these things and helping them with those.
Yeah.
But I think you are going to get to a certain stage that you can't go any further on this and have to let you go. If performance management doesn't work, I think, and it's bad for them, but at the same time it's good for your business, because if they cause your business to go under, suddenly there's 5, 10, 20 people unemployed because of this one person that you're trying to help. There is an element that you do want to help your employees, but at the same time there's actually a legal responsibility to do the best thing for your business as well.
Yeah. So that's one point. In this situation, just coming back to your point, you would think that you would uncover the problems that they were having. And in this situation, as is common with mental illness, the person in question had covered it up really well, so there was no idea. They were a bit quiet, and they never mentioned any difficulties that they were having, even though their boss was quite sympathetic and would have been sympathetic. So in that situation, how it actually happened, that could have come out. They could have asked for help. And it was quite a nice company to work for, so they should have been able to, but they'd covered it up because of the stigma of mental illness. So it's a very sad case.
It's very difficult for a manager, mm-hmm. right? Because there's a sense of you needing someone to perform against a set of objectives or to deliver a job. And in a sense, I think your responsibility is to ensure that your staff perform to that. Actually, the number of kids they have or their personal circumstances, to a degree, I would argue, are probably slightly irrelevant in that you're thinking about how you manage your business and they are employed to do that job. And I think in every situation where, you know, there'd be like a million different circumstances, right, where everyone's circumstances could be difficult, you know, travel might be a problem or whatever. If they don't meet the grade and you go through a proper performance improvement plan or something around that, and then you end up having to sack them, then that's, if you follow the due process, it's only a good thing. Although it's sad, and it's hard for a manager if you then later find out something like that, it's sad and it's not easy, but you still have to execute the process.
Yeah.
I think that the disciplinary procedure is not designed, the purpose of it is not to get rid of someone, it's to help people change.
That's a really important point, yes. Yeah. And I think that there's something also in your point there about the ethical considerations of it, is that we do things and we either don't know or sometimes have to not hold ourselves responsible for the consequences of our actions because we've got other responsibilities, which is to the company. Okay. So thank you very much for your viewpoints. That's been really, really interesting. It would be great if some people could help me pick up my bananas and dinosaurs and maybe put them back on the stage there. They can all come into the good side. And thank you for your comments. I hope that's given you some food for thought, and maybe some questions to bring out later.